So you got it? You got it locked in? I want you to think about that superhero. And I want you to think about one of the stories, whether you read them or whether you watch them. And think about what makes you lean in. Think about when you are watching that movie or you're reading the book and you catch yourself leaning in to the story. It's not when everything is just going along so nice and everything is just so smooth. No, you catch yourself leaning in the tension. You catch yourself, you know, getting to the edge of your seat. Some of us have this emotion inside of us, right? When there continues to be all this tension in the story. When there continues to be this conflict, you lean in even more and you feel the emotion in your body. You get tensed up even. And then there's that climactic moment when all of a sudden you know that, you know, you're that character in the story, they're hanging on by one hand, right? And then it's like three fingers. And then it's like two fingers. And you're just waiting for, you know it's going to happen. They're going to fall. And they're falling from the Empire State Building, right? And you know they're just going to plummet to their death. But because you know you're a superhero, they're going to sweep in just at the right time. And even though you know that, you've got all this tension built up inside of you. And then, just before they're about ready to get smashed by the train or the truck or the ground, your superhero flies right in and saves the day, right? And isn't our life a lot like that? Isn't our life, in fact, if your life isn't like that in the medical field, here's what they call that. They call that flatlined, right? You're dead. Our life should look like a lot of tension. There's going to be conflict. That's just going to be life. And here's the other thing. In your movie, in your story, the conflict, those climactic moments reveals the need, doesn't it? And then when at those climactic moments, when your superhero shows up, it reveals the superhero. Man, isn't this our life? Ever since sin entered into the world in Genesis chapter 3, we have been a human race in need because of sin. Because our sin has kept us separated from a holy God. And Jesus and God have been on a rescue mission ever since to reveal themselves to us as their rescuer, as the Savior of the world. And that's who we want to look at this morning in our life. And here's why we're saying this, because, well, first let me just put it up here. The harder life gets, God should feel closer, not further away. But just the opposite is so true in so many of our lives. And in your experience, you know that you feel like that the harder life has gotten, you ask the question, where are you, God? You know that when you have bumped into those people, your friends, your coworkers, they're asking, you know, life is so hard. I thought there was a God. In fact, some of you have talked about your God to your coworkers. And when life has gotten hard for them, they come to you and they're like, hey, I thought you told me that God loves me. How come he's so far away? Why is he allowing this to happen? Just the opposite is true. But Christ follower, this should be true in our life. That the harder life is, the closer we should feel to God, because it reveals our need, that we need him. It reveals him for who he says he is. He says he is our shelter. He tells us that he is our refuge. He tells us that he is our strength. He tells us that he is our helper. And in these times, in our hard times, he shows up to reveal himself that way. To be exactly what you and I need. And so instead of us feeling like, where are you, God? We should be like, no, this is just life in a broken world, and bad stuff is going to happen, and I can trust that God is close to me because he has promised to never leave you or to never fail you, to never abandon you, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I love this. I love in 1 Kings chapter 19 that Elijah is having this crazy experience in this cave, and he's looking for God, and God's not in the fire. He's not in an earthquake that comes. But then Elijah says that it was in the still, small whisper. That God was in the whisper. When do you whisper? You whisper when the person is close to you. You don't have to yell. And in your most difficult times, God is whispering to you. Exodus chapter 5, that's where we're going. So take your Bibles, let's jump into this story. Exodus chapter 5 with Moses. We pick up the story here, and don't forget where we were last week. Moses and Aaron had just showed up to the leaders of Israel and convinced them that they really do have this message from God. And all of a sudden, you see the people of Israel falling down, bowing down to worship God in response, saying, God, you have been here with us all along. All this misery, you've heard us. And remember last week we talked about this, that their response to this was worship. But because they are just like you and I, this quickly changed. So, Exodus chapter 5, verse number 1. After this presentation to Israel's leaders, Moses and Aaron went and spoke to Pharaoh. And they told him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so they may hold a festival in my honor in the wilderness." Now watch Pharaoh's reply. "Is that so?" retorted Pharaoh. "And who is the Lord? And why should I listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." We see Pharaoh's arrogance in his reply. We see his pride, but don't forget where that comes from. Remember last week we talked about that he really thought he was a deity of the king of gods, Amon-Re, right? So that's who he thinks he is. And he's asking, who is the Lord? He thinks he's the one that's been calling the shots. He thinks he is king of all kings, king of all gods, of all the Egyptian gods. And so his question is arrogant, but it's also telling. Because he's saying, who is this Yahweh, all capitalized? That's what the Lord, when the Lord shows up in your scriptures, that's what it means. And it says, why should I listen to him or even let Israel go? And then he just flat out says this, I don't know the Lord. I don't know this God that you speak of. And I wonder here this morning, we're going to see this question come up again a little bit later, but maybe you're here. And you're not asking this question from an arrogant or a prideful way. You're asking it, really asking, who is the Lord God Yahweh? And that's what I said earlier when I just started out, that we have been praying that God would reveal himself to those who may come here today who have never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They don't know the Lord. And maybe if that is you, know that we've been praying that you would also know the Lord. But for the Christ follower, this also has a meaning which we'll come back to in a minute. Now, Moses goes on and he says, but Aaron and Moses persisted. "The God of the Hebrews has met with us," they declared, "and so let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness so we can offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. If we don't, he will kill us with a plague or with the sword." So, Pharaoh's reply, Moses and Aaron, why are you distracting the people from their task? Get back to work. Isn't this true? This idea of why are you distracting? And I wonder how many of us are just distracted. How many of us are distracted from following God because of life circumstances? You have allowed life circumstances to get you distracted from who God is. You have allowed the overwhelming circumstance. You have allowed that relationship breakup, or you have allowed that marriage that has ended, or you have allowed your financial situation. You have allowed all these things to bring a distraction to where you have forgotten who the Lord is. Is that where you're at today? Is this where you might connect in the story? Well, he says, look, this is Pharaoh. He continues, look, there are many of your people in the land. And what he's saying here is that, you know, the economy of Egypt is based on your people, because this is their labor. This is their workforce. And he says, you're stopping them from their work. That's all he cared about. It was about their economics. And then what would happen is Pharaoh would devise a plan to get the people of Israel to actually turn on Moses and Aaron. And in this plan, what he would do is he would say, you know, he told all of those who were leading the work crews, stop having the straw delivered to their work sites and instead make them go figure out where the straw is and keep the quota the same. They were producing bricks. They were brick makers, and the same amount of bricks that they had to produce did not change. And they had this added step of being scattered throughout. Now think about this. This is kind of ingenious on Pharaoh's part, because now he has all these people scattered throughout Egypt. They can't huddle together and, you know, create some kind of riot, because they're out scattered and trying to find the straw to bring back so that they could actually make these bricks. And he put all the blame on Moses and Aaron. And that's what you're going to see is going to happen, is that they're going to actually take the fall for this. So if you slide down to verse number 13, it says, meanwhile, the Egyptian slave drivers continued to push hard. And here's what they were pushing. Meet your daily quota of bricks, just as you did when we provided you with straw, they demanded. Then they took the Israelite, the very people, the Israelite foremen, who were in charge of all these work crews. He brought them and they whipped them, taking on even more of the brutality, because they couldn't produce fast enough. They couldn't keep up with the quota. And after they whipped them, it's why haven't you met your quotas? Either yesterday or today, they demanded. The Israelite foreman asked to have Pharaoh's ear. And so they show up in Pharaoh's court. And they beg Pharaoh, have mercy. How can you keep us having to produce the same amount without, when we have this huge added step where we have to scatter our people throughout the region of Egypt to gather all the straw we need to make these bricks? And Pharaoh wouldn't have it. And he continued to push forward. So watch what happens. It says, and as they left Pharaoh's court, when they left the presence of Pharaoh, they confronted Moses and Aaron, who are waiting outside for them. And they weren't happy. And here's where Moses' plan comes right into play, right where he wants them. To have these people turn on the very ones who were sent with this message that they were going to be the rescuers. And listen to what they said. The foreman said to Moses and Aaron, may the Lord judge and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword into their hands and an excuse to kill us. Now, just the last chapter, we see these very people worshiping, following God, like worshiping God in response to Moses and Aaron being their leaders, their rescuer. And now all of a sudden, because of circumstance, because they've been distracted, because of bad circumstances. Because life got harder. They're calling down this curse on the very people who are supposed to lead them. And I wonder how your prayer life has changed. For those of you who are Christ followers, because there has been this continual bad circumstance in your life. And it has changed the way that you pray. It has changed the way that you view life. It has changed the way that you view other people. You've become cynical. That's what's happened here. They become cynical. And they start praying against Moses and Aaron. Many times, the depth of our trust is only as far as we can see. And this is exactly what's happened to these people in Israel. How deep is your trust? Does it go further than what you can actually see? Or is it only you only trust for what you can see? Where are you? What's the level of your trust? What's the depth of your trust? When life gets hard, is that when you're like, God, where are you? I can't trust you anymore. Look what happens to Moses. And then Moses went back to the Lord and protested. This has had a domino effect. Now Moses takes all that has been put on him. And he goes back to God. And he's like, God, why? Why have you brought all this trouble upon your own people, Lord? And why did you send me? Have you ever felt like you were doing exactly what God has called you to do, but it's just gotten harder? It's gotten, in fact, you would say, it's gotten worse. Moses is right there. He knows exactly. But I want us to step back for a second and just think about Moses. Think about that here he is. He's talking now to God. Think about his previous experiences, but think about where he's at right now. He says, why have you brought all this trouble on your own people? Can't you imagine what God is thinking? God is probably thinking, Moses, I told you this is exactly what was going to happen. Remember, let's dial back just a chapter, that Pharaoh's going to say no. And that life is actually going to get harder. Why are you so surprised? And could I ask us as Christ followers, why are you surprised when Jesus made it very clear that you are going to have trouble here on this earth? Why do we push back on the trouble when that trouble reveals the need for a Savior? When that trouble reveals the power of God and the presence of God in your life, why do we push back? Who wants a life that's just flatlined, that's dead? Ever since I came, Moses went on, ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people, and you have done nothing to rescue them. Really? I mean, come on, Moses. God took you from the backside of the desert, from the land of Midian, and brought you 280-some miles. He prepared you for 40 years and brought you back into Egypt. He hasn't done anything. Man, he's been working out his plan. You see what happens when we get distracted? We talk nonsense. We talk in ways that just doesn't align with what you know to really be true. But you have lied to yourself. And you have been distracted by your circumstances, and it gets you off course. And that's exactly what's happening here in the life of Moses. So we got to come back to this question, who is the Lord? When you find yourself questioning God, God, what are you doing? Here's the question that you need to ask instead. The same question that Pharaoh asked, only but without the pride and without the arrogance. As a Christ follower, you need to ask the question, but who are you, Lord? And remember who God revealed himself as to Moses in the burning bush in chapter 3. And remember when God had that encounter with Moses, and Moses is like, well, who do I tell him sent me? Remember what he said? in Genesis or Exodus 3:14, God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. So say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." And remember how Justin unpacked that for us in the depth of the meaning behind the I am. And what it means is that he, that the rescuer, that God will rescue you, that he, that I am the rescuer, that he will rescue you both now and in the future, that he is, here's what we need to do. Who is the Lord? I need to remind myself that he is our shelter, that he is our refuge, that he is our strength, and that he is our help in a time of need. That's what we do. We've got to ask the question, who are you, Lord? And then you need to tell yourself who the Lord is. That's why the depth of our trust needs to be anchored in all that I am and not in what we feel or that we see. You and I have to get a hold of this. We have to anchor ourselves into who God is, not in what you feel. And we cannot be distracted or blinded by our circumstances and where we find ourselves. So here's what you need to do. Here's just a practical thing. Whenever you bump up into this, you find yourself in this stage in life, this phase in life, and it's going to happen. It's going to come. And the tension is so tight. What you need to do is lean in. When you feel like that you're at one of those stages where it's just, this is like a climatic moment, you lean in. And you ask yourself, who is the Lord? And then here's how you answer it. You open up to the Psalms. Christ followers, listen to me. Here's what you need to do. You need to open your Bible to the Psalms and you need to pray these Psalms back to God. You say, well, where do I, what does that look like? Start with Psalms 90. Start with Psalms 91. Start with Psalms 96, 136, 138. You almost any Psalm, you open the Psalms and then you make that Psalm a prayer back to God, turning the words, making it personal for you. But as you do that, what happens is that you are reminded who God is, and you will be reminded that God's love endures forever. You will be reminded that he was the God who brought the people out of Egypt. He rescued them. And what you will be reminded is, who is the Lord? He's your refuge. He's your shelter. And he's your help. You'll be reminded what David told us he was. Remember Psalms 23? That David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because your presence is there with me. That's what you and I need to do. When we find ourselves getting distracted, when we find ourselves getting weighed down by month after month, year after year, what you need to do is remind yourself of who the Lord is, and you remind yourself of who the Lord is by opening the Scriptures, and you pray them back to him. And that helps change your mind and your perspective and remind you the Lord is good, even in the bad times. Take out your connection card. And on the connection card, you'll see the next steps. The very first one says this. It says, I feel like I'm at the bottom of my story. I feel like God has abandoned me. Pray I won't give in to my feelings, but that my trust in him will grow even deeper. Can you do that today? Can you, if this is you, we definitely want to pray for you. But will you also just commit this week to praying the Psalms back to God, reminding yourself of who he is? And I understand, I know that so many times we feel abandoned. But please remember this, that in those times of need, in those times of where you feel like that, all that, like the tension, the rubber band is like stretched so far, it's just about ready to snap. Well, you remember that just reveals the need for a Savior. And that gives God an opportunity to show up in your life so that your life isn't so boring. Just last week, out in the lobby, there was a couple that's been following the Lord probably longer than I've been alive. And they were just talking about one life experience after another. But you know what? They weren't talking about it from 50 years ago. They were talking about, Rick, you won't believe what happened last week. We had this issue around our house, and we needed $500 to be able to get this thing repaired. So me and my wife, we were praying, and we were asking God, just trust him. We knew he was going to provide it. And the very next day, anonymous letter with a cashier's check for $500 even showed up in their mail. I mean, that is what God does. Yeah, we can praise God for that by telling him. And you know what? Some of you have never experienced that. And you don't need to have a low checking account or a low savings account to experience that. Because he shows up with emotional strength. He shows up with mental strength. He shows up with just the right words or the right person at the right time in your life. This is what God does. And if you feel like this is where you are, we want to pray for you. Because it gives God an opportunity to show up big time in your life. He's faithful. He'll never leave you. He'll never abandon you. The other next step on there says this. It says, I don't know the Lord as my Savior. I would like to know him and would welcome a call from someone to discuss this further. So if that's where you're at this morning, we would love to be able to have that conversation with you. You know, for you, you really are honestly asking the question, how can I know the Lord? And again, we'd love to pray with you about that. Will you take those connection cards? You can drop them right in the offering boxes in the back of this room on your way out. I want to pray for us this morning. Father, we come to you and we say thank you for your word. We say thank you that even though this story is a few thousand years old, it's still so very true. We find ourselves in this very story here today. And God, I pray for the person who just needs you. They need you to show up like you have always done throughout history, because you are a faithful God and you've promised never to leave us or never to abandon us. And God, I pray for that person that's at the end. They feel like they're at the bottom of their story. God, show them that you are God, that you are rescuer, and that you are our shelter. And Father, if there's somebody in our room this morning that honestly doesn't know you, give them the awareness and the understanding of who you are as Savior. Please, we pray this, Jesus, in your powerful name.